You're listening to Wyong Baptist Church's podcast of our Sunday messages. You can find out more about Wyong Baptist from our website, www.wyongbaptist.org.
Would you join me this morning in reading Ephesians 1, 3-14? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Amen.
Well, it's good to be in church this morning. Good morning. It's also good to be in church this morning because I'm leaving this afternoon. So I don't mind bragging. Brett was a little bit remiss to want to do it on my behalf, but Dawn and I are heading to the United States this evening to catch up with our son and his family. We have a son, daughter-in-law and three grandsons living in Minneapolis, and we're going to spend some time with them. But we're going to spend some time getting there via cruising from Sydney to Honolulu first, so... It's tough. I just had to put it out there so that you would understand the grief that I'm feeling at this point in time. But it is a joy to be in church, and I couldn't miss this opportunity of taking the time to be with you. Kids, there are colouring sheets and pencil packs up the front, so if you haven't already grabbed those and you want to do that at any time, you are welcome to come and get something from the basket. Don't hesitate to enjoy that. That's the kids. Brett actually said to me, are you going to do the colouring in? He actually meant that I would mention that, but I took it a different way when he actually asked that of me. So the first quarter of this year has unfolded a little bit differently than I had expected it would as we stepped into ministry here alongside you at Wyong. I knew aspects of what the church was working through and where we needed to go, but on my heart and on the elder's heart inviting me on your behalf to be here with you was this whole transitional ministry of being alongside you to help you through the process of new team leadership. So that was the basis upon which we came. And these 3 months have been exercised a little bit differently to that. That's why I'm looking forward to you being able to do this survey on the 5th of May. Survey Sunday. There'll be a fellowship lunch around that opportunity. There will be chance for you to do it online beforehand if you want to and just come and enjoy the lunch. But if you have a phobia with online surveys and you just want to do the actual physical one, I'm a survey nut. I love doing surveys. So Dawn knows that when the census comes, just leave it all on the table. I'll churn through that very happily. That's a happy space for me. So that'll be something important for us as a leadership, just to be able to get that information back and establish some directions as we're moving forward. But these 3 months have seen for me, I've been privileged to be part of the best of things and the not so best of things. And we stand in it together. But I stand here this morning saying very clearly and very openly and very happily that Wyong Baptist Church is unique. There's a lot of things about who we are and why we are that sets us apart. Whether we fully appreciate it or not, we are constantly being dissected, examined, studied, labelled, categorised, scrutinised, blessed, cursed, ignored. A whole range of things happen whenever you talk about Wyong Baptist Church. So why is it that a place like WBC entertains so much of a focus? Well, for me, it's because we have become many, many things to many different people. A haven, a home, a family, a place for learning and growing, a loving place for the unlovely, a place of peace for those in chaos, forgiveness for the guilty, a place that seeks to bring light in the midst of darkness, and so much more. That's what WBC is all about. I remember when Dawn and I came to the church here for the first time, we were met and greeted by a bunch of grinning, embracing, inclusive Jesus people. Not wearing orange robes and other things, but just enjoying being who we are in this place. And that's what's warmed us to what this fellowship is about and what it needs to seek to continue to do. And I think the key to understanding Wyong Baptist Church and its amazing history is not to analyse the pastors or staff or programs or size or location, even though those things are necessary. They're an important part of who we are, what we value, but they're really not the key. The key is to understand WBC by its name. But it's not about Wyong. Even though that signifies and describes something important, it's the church that meets in a location. Nor is it the title Baptist, even though that defines us as part of a broader movement that we are linked in with and that it also identifies part of one of our key theological tenets. No, the key to our identity is in the word church. And that actually sums up everything about everything that we are. We are not Wyong Baptist Club or Wyong Baptist Company or even Wyong Baptist Psychological and Religious Maladjustment Center. Although I have my question marks for some of you. We are Wyong Baptist Church. And that's why so much of the world has such a difficult time in understanding what it is that we're about. It's that one word that sets us apart. And if we can understand that word church, then we'll be in a better place to understand what more than 45 years of history in this place has brought. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, purchased with his own blood. Do I hear an amen or a yes to that? That's who we are. That's who we are. No other establishment in the world is in any way like the church. And yet I guess the sad thing in all of that is that church has lost a lot of its richness. You talk about church with people out there in the community and they have a completely different view. They think it's just the building down on the block of land near where that school is. Or they think of church and they think of some of the horrible things that get reported and spoken about and the failures and the misgivings. And the weaknesses. And you need that crutch to lean on if you've got to rely on that stuff. But church can't be defined like that, can it? The word actually comes from a term used in the New Testament to talk about the called out ones. That was the word that was used, the called out ones. That's who we are. We are wonderfully defined by Romans 8 verse 28, which identifies those who are called according to his purpose. We are Wyong Baptist called out ones. We are the assembly of the called. We are not just built by good, kind-hearted, religious people. We are called by God into existence. This church is the work of our Saviour, the work of the one who is sovereign over all, in all, through all. That is who we are. That defines us. And really, it's all that that explains, and that explains all that we are, have been able to do and continue to do. The beauty, yes, the beauty of the weaknesses and failures of our church is explained by the fact that God has chosen to work through fragile human beings. Weakness, strength, failures, successes, name it like you want to. But we recognize that we don't have it all and that we depend upon a God who is all. And we look to him for our strength and our eternity and our hope and the very things that push us on. To some degree today is all about how we are going to manage this journey we are on. Because the single goal of this church is to let God work, to let God be active, to let God build his kingdom and to clear a path for him through our obedient surrender to his word and his spirit. That's what we need to be about. We are the called out ones. William Barclay, a New Testament commentator, he said, it is possible to be a follower of Jesus without being a disciple. Or in the words of a soccer coach I had many, many years ago, the kamikaze pilot who flew repeat missions was certainly involved but not committed. So this is where we step into Ephesians chapter 1, part of which was read to us before. Remember, and keep that in the back of your mind, we are the called out ones. In verse 4 of Ephesians 1, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, before God spoke into existence. Anything that we know and enjoy and live, he spoke about us. And he chose us to be part of this kingdom reality. Verse 5, he predestined us to be adopted as his children. Verse 11, having been predestined according to his purpose. Now we're not going to get into the theology of all those words. That's not what this message is about for this morning. There's another time for that. But the calling out is mentioned there in the heart of what those verses are about. This church, as is the church in total, is a result of God's sovereign work. Listen to these words from 2 Timothy. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. It echoes so much of what Paul, who wrote to Timothy those words, what is evidenced elsewhere, even here in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. If you were at Wyong Baptist Church, you didn't find us. God found you, and you were here by divine appointment. That's why we are what we are. What we are doing is fulfilling God's calling on our life that he has put in place from all eternity. Think about it. Think about it. When a group of people got together and dreamed and prayed, God knew that we would be sitting here today. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? That when those who left the entrance church over 45 years ago and looked up the road to what was happening here and people who lived around and thought, we could plant a church there. And someone came along and some land was made available and buildings were put on it progressively and work started. God knew we would be sitting here today. We're all here for such a time as this because the Lord is continuing to build his church. But in many ways, none of that is really what I want to speak with you about this morning. That's a little bit of an introduction, so strap yourself in. The cruise ship doesn't leave till 6:30 this evening, so I've got a little bit of time yet. Maybe, you know, it's not going to come up the coast and scoop. It's going to go out to sea. So, okay. Really, it is Ephesians 1, verses 11 through 14 that I just want to spend a little bit of time in. They're the verses for this morning that grabbed my heart. They're the verses that I've prayed about. Because if there's one thing that a church must be, it must be the assembly of the people who know their master. That's what we must be. Anything less than that is not a church. Verse 11 in the NIV says, "In him we were also chosen." Most of the other translations put it this way, "In him we have also obtained an inheritance." And I love that word inheritance because purely in the original language, that's the word. It doesn't talk specifically about being chosen, although that's the inference. In being chosen, we gain the inheritance. And the predestined that is spoken earlier on in the verses leads to this thought of being chosen. But the word is actually the word inheritance. This word is God's word for us today. It has gripped me as I've thought about sharing this word with you. And I've been praying it through. And for me, the tense of the verb is important because it's in the past tense. Does that make a difference? Yes, it does. Because that means it has already happened. We've already received the inheritance. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you own what God has prepared for you in Christ Jesus? Because that's what the scriptures are affirming for us. The moment you invited Jesus into your life, that inheritance was yours. Let me share something important with you about the Greek language. Whenever the Greeks wanted to say something about what God was going to do for the future, that for them was so short, certain and so secure, they said it as if it had already happened. For instance, the Bible says, "You're already seated in the heavenlies." No, I'm not. I'm here in an auditorium at Wyong Baptist Church on a Sunday morning. No. In Christ, you already have that. So it is communicated in such a way that it is realized now, even though your circumstances are different now for a while. It is yours. The inheritance is there. Someday you are going to be in heaven with God. It is true, it is irrevocable that God says it as if it has already happened. That's exactly what the meaning is referencing here. If you are a believer, then you have already received the inheritance. Can we back up the amen?
Amen?
It's there. It's for us. Romans 8:17 says, "If children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with the Son." That's a verse that many of you have heard before. Think it through. Realize that you are important enough to God for God to take you, win you, and then give you back to Jesus as an inheritance. That's what the verses are telling us. That's how important we are. He has won us in Christ. He has offered us back to Christ as an inheritance. You inherit everything and he inherits you. Quite frankly, I think we get the better deal. We get Christ. He gets us. It's everything. Every promise God has ever made. Are you ready for that? Every promise. 2 Peter says he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. 2 Corinthians 1 affirms to us, as for as many as are the promises of God in him, they are yes. They've already happened. They've been realized. Friends, God is in the business of giving, isn't he? That's the type of God he is. Not withholding, not strangling us off from things that we wished we could be exposed to, but they are there for those who would place their trust in him. So what is it you're looking for? What do you need? Come along tonight, 5 o'clock. You'll hear Brett will answer it all for you. But what are you looking for? Peace? It's in there. Love, grace, wisdom, eternal life, joy, victory, strength, guidance, all your needs met, power, mercy, forgiveness, righteousness, gifts of the Spirit, trouble, that's in there, pain, suffering, truth, spiritual discernment, heaven, a room in my Father's house, eternal riches, you name it. It goes on and on and on. That's the promise that God makes to us. And they are yes. Everyone say it. Yes. Yes. They are yes in Christ Jesus. Such a great thought that when you become a believer in Jesus, the benefits are out of this world. What does Paul say in Philippians 1? He says, "For to me, to live is Paul. No, he doesn't say that, does he? For to me, to live is Christ. There's so much more to this than we could talk about this morning. But let me just highlight verses 13 and 14 towards the end of the passage that was read earlier. You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, which is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. We actually have a guarantee from God as to our inheritance, and that guarantee is none other than the person of the Holy Spirit. Powerful stuff. We understand the word deposit. You know, when you want to purchase something and you don't have all the funds up front, you put a deposit down because you are coming back to pay the rest, to make it your own. We understand the word deposit. The Holy Spirit is God's deposit on our life, that which he has paid for is going to be redeemed fully when the time is right. And it is a deposit guaranteeing, because God knows that we need assurance. Every day of our life, we need our doubts cast away. We need the misgivings to be pushed aside. He knows that we need that guarantee. You buy a car, you buy an appliance, you want the guarantee, that little bit of security that everything is going to function as it is meant to, as it has been described. Well, God has a guarantee for us because he knows that we need to have that confidence. Look at the end of verse 13 into the beginning of verse 14. A deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, the promised Holy Spirit is that deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Why do you think God would take up residence in our life? He has done so that we would be assured that we belong to him. Assured of everything he has promised. Assured of his presence to give us strength to make it through. Assured of the reality and the wonder of everything that we haven't yet moved into, that through him we are going to be changed more and more into his likeness. A deposit guaranteeing. When you become a believer, God actually did an amazingly wonderful thing. He took up residence in your life, and that is why something new is taking place. The renovations are happening. You're being made over to the likeness of our Saviour. The Spirit of God is with you, not only to empower you, not only to fill you for service, not only to equip you for ministry, not only to function through the gifts that he has given you, but he is with you to guarantee your inheritance. This is what I will have, because I will be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He gives you that so that you might have confidence. And friends, the church doesn't miss out either in this. Not just the individual believer, but also the collective of believers. This is a deposit guaranteeing, because Paul says elsewhere in Philippians 1 verse 6 that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. And Paul is writing that letter to the church at Philippi, reminding them that God has begun this work. No one else has begun this work, despite faithful hands outworking the dreams and the desires that God has placed in someone's heart, seeing buildings erected and programs run. It is nonetheless God who is building his church, and he who is began it will carry it on to completion. In June, where we're going to be spending the 5 Sundays of June looking at a series called Who We Are, and this is part of the transitional process. We'll be coming back to some of this stuff that we're talking about this morning and thinking through, but June is going to be understanding who we are around the statements that define us as a local church here. But the goal of this inheritance that we've been speaking simply about this morning is spelt out at the end of verse 14, to the praise of his glory. God doesn't want us to have swelled heads around anything that's going on. Gee, what a good person I am. I spoke a message for you, God, before I went on holidays. How good is that? Oh, I head up this program in the church, and I put all these colouring pages together and the little pencil pack. Gee, I did a good job doing that. to the praise of his glory. The inheritance is there. Everything we have in and of the Spirit is so that we would be right thinking about ourselves and about that which we are part of and get the privilege to enjoy. We are not believers for our own glory, whether that be individual or collective. Because the day you start to promote yourself, the day you start to set yourself up as some authority, the day you start to beat your own chest, or the day this church says we have something better to offer than the church down the road, that's the day we lose. Because we've taken our eyes off the key to all of this, to the praise of his glory. We are servants. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm humbled by what God has done to the praise of his glory. And all I want to do is seek to lift that up as best as I can to help you carry that praise and amplify it out for others. This is a church. We'll get the team to come on up. Thanks, Saint. This is a church. It's a local church. It's a group of called out people who have this desire to be with each other. And as I've said before, you know, we wouldn't normally on otherwise thinking choose a Sunday morning to spend our time like this, and quite possibly not with this bunch of people. But here we are. We are the called out ones in this place. None of us are here though as spectators, and we push back into that. We want people to get together. We desire accountability and ministry and love and all that God has prepared for us. We desire that. We pray about that. And God is the one who has pledged himself to guarantee the inheritance in which we share. We don't seek to accumulate that inheritance. We work towards the blessing that that will be. Over 45 years ago, as some of you well know, God allowed this church to be to the praise of his glory. What about the next period? Well, what I really believe is that we've only just begun to build on the foundations that have been laid. The future is infinitely greater than the past, is it not? Because we're anticipating what God is doing. We're expecting, we're prayerfully joyous that when the course continues to be run, we're going to see amazingly beautiful things. But I do have to warn you, God called us into existence. And he can just as quickly say, no more of that, thank you. So we have to keep our eyes on the one we serve, the one we follow, the one who brings it all to be. Because we are the called out ones in this place to the praise of his glory. We are his church, and he controls our destiny. Are you up for the journey? Are you up for the journey? Thank you. This is where we're walking. And indeed, at times, this is the way in which we'll be running. Certainly, reminding ourselves, his glory is to the fore. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge there is no one other than you who can be worshipped in this way. All others, as we heard last Sunday, that have set themselves up as authoritative have passed away. But Jesus is alive. And we worship and serve him, our risen Lord. The one to whom we have been offered as the inheritance, the one from which we would draw our inheritance. Thank you, Father. May your name be praised in everything we think, everything we say, everything we do. Build your church. Build us, Lord. For we are the called out ones. We follow that calling. We honour you. May your name be praised. Amen.
You've been listening to Wyong Baptist Church's podcast of our Sunday messages. We trust you've been blessed by this message. To find out more about Wyong Baptist, check out our website, www.wyongbaptist.org.